Hey, y'all, it's Elena.
And it's Candace.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime. Hey girl, hey.
Hey girl, hey.
What you been doing?
Just like hanging out in the backyard because it's summer now.
Yeah.
Apparently.
I've been watching your stories.
I mean, it's the summer.
It is, but it's really winter.
It's really February, but it's actually the summer. Like we have the water table out. We've got a little swimming pool. We've got the umbrella out there. We've got bubbles, sunscreen. It's summer.
Fun in the
like
sun.
All the stuff.
Yeah. This is Texas.
Yeah.
I wore a sweater to church this morning.
Silly Billy.
It's 80 degrees.
Yeah.
And I think I was the only one wearing a sweater. But you know what? I'm not ready for the heat yet.
I know.
I need more cold. And so,
trust me, I know.
By wearing this sweater, I'm like,
you were trying to like channel
exactly
the colder weather. Well, it's supposed to be, my dad said it's supposed to be like 90s tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then on Thursday, it's going to be like 50s, high of 50s. So
yeah,
maybe, you know, March is always a wild card.
Right.
So I think March might bring another couple cold days.
Yeah, it gets pretty windy in March. Mm-hmm. So it'll bring in some cold air, I think. But
yeah.
Oof,
but it's fun.
I mean,
I decided today that I probably should shave my legs soon.
Oh, that's a thing, isn't it?
I grew a winter coat, I'll be honest with you. And I had to put shorts on today because it was so hot, and I was like, better shave my legs.
Oh, but why?
I know.
You were just coming to see me and hang out with your girls. And,
I know.
And Daniel's probably like,
He knows what to expect by this point.
Candace, get a hold of yourself.
I mean, it's been, 14, 15 years? So he's like, you know, he deserves better. I will say that.
Aww.
But it is what it is.
Yeah.
And I have a trip coming up.
Yes.
And I need to shave my legs.
You got to be prepared for that.
Yeah. I'm really excited. I cannot wait. Ah! Sorry. It just made me want to sing.
Yeah, I'm a little jelly that I'm not going with you.
I know. And I'm going to miss your B-Day.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that because I'm a little mad. But
you're mad because I'm missing it, or
I'm
you're
bitter.
Mad because you're having a birthday?
Oh.
Which one?
Well.
A little bit of both.
No, birthdays don't bother me.
Yeah.
You know, I am turning 40. It's the big
4-0.
But I'm not mad about it.
No.
I'm just living
life. Why
would
you be? It's just a number.
It really is.
It's just a number.
Yeah.
So
no, I'm bitter that you're not going to be here to celebrate with me.
I know.
So,
but you know what? I'm going to take you to dinner when I get home.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going on a trip.
I am. Yes.
So,
going to the beach.
That'll be fun.
Mm-hmm. Good times had by all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Enough of that. Do you want to hear
enough
the story?
Enough of the chit chat.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to hear it.
Okay. Well,
I'm excited.
We're going to talk about Ben Oxley.
Okay.
Benjamin Robert Oxley, he went by Ben. He was born in January of 1972 in California. He had a twin brother named Billy. Ben was actually one of seven children.
Wow.
And
God bless his mother.
Seven. Yeah, that's a lot. He spent his childhood in Hawaii.
Cool.
I've heard that a lot of Californians, they go back and forth from California to Hawaii.
That's
I just learned
nice.
that's a thing.
Okay. Good for you.
Yeah. So, yeah, he grew up in Hawaii. He played soccer, football. He liked to surf and jet ski. He graduated high school, and then he became an air conditioning repairman.
Thank you for your service.
Yes. God bless you. God bless those AC repairmen.
Exactly.
I have needed one at my house several times.
Ay, ay, ay.
But yeah, because Texas gets hot, as we were just...
Exactly. And we're not even in August. Yeah. So let's not even go there.
Yeah, it's miserable. So yes. In 1996, he moved to live with Billy in Nevada.
Okay.
Because I guess they probably need some AC repairmen in Nevada, you know, because I think it gets hot in the desert.
Definitely.
So, yeah, Hawaii to Nevada.
Mm, sounds like a downgrade to me.
Beautiful ocean to desertous, mountainous.
Yeah.
Anyway, he lived with Billy and Billy's girlfriend, Dawn. Billy actually moved out not too long later, eventually breaking up with Dawn. And so that left Ben and Dawn living together.
Oh.
And they started their own relationship.
Interesting.
Yeah. They actually would end up getting married about 3 years later.
Okay.
A friend said of their relationship that they were in love and had lots of fun together. 2 years into their marriage, they had their first baby together and named her Alyssa. Ben loved Alyssa, and everything that he did was for her. She became his top priority. Mm-hmm. And Dawn would argue with Ben about that. She's like...
Seriously? Come on.
Yeah. She, I guess, wanted to be...
Jealous of her own daughter?
Yeah. So... That's what I chalk it up to is jealousy. So a few short laters, Dawn, a few short years later, Dawn and Ben's relationship became volatile and they divorced.
You don't say.
Yeah. They shared custody for a while. So Alyssa had to go back and forth living with both of them. Ben actually met a new woman in between, in going through this transition. Mm-hmm. Her name is Melissa. Now, Melissa worked at a supply store where Ben would often go get his supplies at. And he just knew that she was his soulmate. Like, it was a whole new connection with her that he had never had with Dawn. Their first date, Ben had brought Alyssa with him.
That's unconventional.
Yeah,
but okay.
Yeah, but that just shows you how important.
Comfortable he was already.
Right. Yeah. Alyssa being important to him, comfortable with Melissa, like he just knew that.
And he was probably like, I want to see if she's jealous of my daughter.
Yeah, how's this going to go?
Don't want a repeat of that.
Yeah, so they actually ended up, it went well. They got married in September of 2006. By 2007, they had a home in Minden, Nevada, and Alyssa lived with them full time now with Melissa and Ben. So at this point, Melissa's teenage brother came to live with them as well. His name is Craig, and he came to live with them. So it's just the splendid family.
Yeah.
And they're just living life.
Yeah.
Just over a year of marriage, on February 21st of 2008, Melissa called the police at 3:30 a.m. She reported that her husband had been shot in their bedroom.
Okay.
She said that she woke up when she heard a loud gun noise. Now, this is all on the 911 tapes as she's talking to the dispatcher. She says, I heard a gun noise. And the dispatcher's like, a gun noise? Like a gunshot? And Melissa's like, yeah, I turned on the light to wake up my husband and it's really, really bad. And the dispatcher goes, what's really bad? And she said, my husband. The dispatcher said, did he shoot himself? And as she's talking to the dispatcher, she's crying and then she composes herself. And there are times where she's talking to Alyssa in the background, telling Alyssa just to lay down.
Lay down.
Okay. Yeah. So the dispatcher's like, who are you talking to? And she's like, my daughter, I'm trying to get her to lay down.
She had left the room at this point.
Yeah, she was in Alyssa's room now. Gotcha. With Alyssa, trying to make things calm for her. Right.
Okay.
So Melissa tells the dispatcher that she was laying right next to her husband, Ben, sleeping when he was shot. She says someone came in and shot, and that's when she woke up to the loud noise and something hit her in the head. So she got up, she smelled gunpowder, she turned on the light, and he was in a puddle of blood. She said she had gone to check the front door, and the door was open. The dispatcher continues asking as many questions as she can, and Melissa's, she has an answer for all the questions. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like so many people would listen to this call and dissect it, and they would be like... Like it would be like so many of those other calls where we're like, oh, she did it. Mm-hmm. No question.
Yeah.
She's acting weird.
Yeah.
How can she be so calm? Melissa's explanation for being so calm is that she was trying to be calm for Alyssa.
Yeah.
Detectives arrived and noted that the front door was open, just like Melissa said. So they initially thought the gunman was still in the house. As they're clearing the house, they go into Craig's bedroom and they see someone laying in the bed under the covers. They start yelling, "Police, show your hands." And the person laying there didn't move. And an officer went over to the person and nudges them, and Craig sits straight up from his sleep. In his slumber, he's confused. He's like, what's going on? Now, at this time, Craig was 17 years old, and he was a heavy sleeper. He even slept through the gunshot that Melissa says happened.
I always tell Daniel that he would sleep through my murder. Like, he would.
He's a deep sleeper.
If I was shot right next to him, he would just still be asleep.
Wow.
Until the morning when he found my body.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people just...
I wish I could sleep like that.
I do too. Chris and I both are light sleepers, so it's hard to get anything by.
I know.
No, but my brother-in-law, he used to live here when he was a teenager with us, and he was very difficult to wake up. Like, Chris would get so frustrated with him because Chris would try to make sure he was up to go to work. And he even had one of those trucker alarms where it like blares loud. And even that wouldn't wake him up.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
So I can believe this deep sleep kind of thing. But the sheriff noted that Melissa was standing in the hallway and had blood on her. And she was just in shock. They went into the bedroom and saw Ben laying in the bed with blood everywhere, and he had clearly been shot in the head. Detectives started going through the home looking for any clues or evidence as to what in the world happened. They found shotguns in the garage and shotgun ammunition in Craig's bedroom on his dresser.
Okay.
Craig and Melissa both claim that they slept through the whole thing. Melissa said she's a deep sleeper as well as Craig. Detectives could not understand how she couldn't know what happened, seeing as she was sleeping right next to Ben.
Yeah, that's hard to believe.
In her interview, Melissa is distraught, but tries to answer all questions as best as she can. She says the detective's like, well, did y'all fight? Like, disagreement? She's like, I mean, we never had any fights. And he's like, never had any fights. And she said, we talked all of our issues through. Like, yeah, he got frustrated at things, but we talked about it. We resolved it.
Nobody has a healthy relationship.
So they ask, does Ben get angry? How are y'all's finances? The detectives ask her to explain how she was laying next to Ben. Like, okay, just show us the positions. And she said they were back to back, about 2 inches apart. She explained how Ben usually kicks the blankets to the end of the bed, but she normally pulls the blanket up to her neck. That's just, you know, so I've known couples who sleep with two different blankets because They just like to be covered differently.
It's hard to share a blanket. I sympathize.
So yeah, she had fallen asleep. So she fell asleep on the couch when they were watching a movie that night. And Ben came and woke her up, told her to come to bed. So she goes to bed. She gets back to sleep, comfortable, back to back. So she's got the blanket pulled up to her neck. And she said at one point she remembers waking up and looking at the clock, and it was 2 a.m. At that time, she remembers hearing a ruckus in the kitchen, like pots and pans clanking, but figured it was the cats because
cats be doing it.
Yeah. But that was a normal thing. The cats would, you know, get cantankerous in the hours.
Cats, man.
And so, it was 2 a.m. when all that happened. She went back straight back to sleep. And then she woke up to the gunshot. She remembers something hit her head. She told, just like she said to the dispatcher, she told the detectives that something hit her head. So she thought she was dreaming, but her ears were ringing. You know, have you ever been close to a gunshot before?
Not that close. Not 2 inches away, but
where it makes your ears ring.
Well, so. And if you were hit in the head and that's what woke you up, I can imagine, like, waking up is kind of confusing sometimes anyways. True. Especially in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
But to be, she says she was hit and that woke her up.
So the loud noise along and realized something hit her head.
Right.
So, yeah, she thought she was dreaming, ears ringing. She's like, okay, what's going on? This is real. Let me, you know, one of those things where, like, let me pinch myself, see if I, but the detective's like, look, I have to go off the evidence and it just isn't making sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
You're right next to Ben, but you just have a little bit of blood on you. But you know what? She said she was covered up to her neck with the blankets. Like,
yeah,
there's blood on the blanket.
Yeah.
So, of course, it's not going to be on her. It's going to be on the blanket. He says on the nightstand, there were pellets from the shotgun shell that should have hit her. And maybe that, I mean.
Maybe that's what hit her on the head.
Well, I think she realized what hit her was Ben's brain matter.
Oh, my gosh.
So she's like, but yeah, you're right. I don't know. That's what's weird. I'm telling you. I lay lower than him. He sleeps propped up on a pillow. She sleeps flat without a pillow. So she's like, so it's really not that weird that I wasn't shot because I wasn't in the line of fire, right. Even though I'm next to him. It's just like, how do I explain this? But the detective then says, the blood on your clothes, it looks like you laid in his blood. And not that it was actually, like, cast on you, like, spatter. Mm-hmm. She said, that's what I'm telling you. Just before I turned on the light, it looked like he was puking, laying there in bed. It looked like he was puking. So she said, I kneeled on him to try to help him. And then I heard him gurgling. And that's when I'm like, what's going on? I turn on the lights and there's blood all over him.
Oh my Lord.
He's like, why did you not see anybody? Like, you didn't hear a car drive away? And she said, I don't know what to tell you. I'm a sound sleeper.
Yeah.
So it's all just confusing to everybody. Yeah,
sounds strange.
Yeah. So she told them that she hadn't even touched a gun since she went hunting or went to target practice with her dad 3 Thanksgivings ago. And she tells them there's no reason that Craig would have done this. Ben was like a father to Craig. And that's when she tells them that Dawn, the ex-wife, had a vendetta with Ben. Well, Craig was questioned and he just seems like such a sweetheart. I mean, looking at his picture and listening to his interview with the detectives, like, I got so emotional because he just was such a sweetheart. He's soft spoken and he was crying. He was closer to Ben than his actual family.
Oh.
And detectives asked him to describe the events of the night leading up to the murder. And Craig says that they watched a movie on the couch while they ate dinner. They all were happy and laughing at the movie. It was a funny movie. And then they fell asleep. He even tells detectives there's not one person other than Dawn that would have done this to Ben.
Yeah, well, and if it was a robbery, it seems like the person would have killed both people in the bed.
Exactly. And that's even one question that they asked Melissa. Why didn't they shoot mm-hmm. you? Why just Ben yeah. and then run away? Alyssa was interviewed. She was 6 years old.
Oh, bless her.
And as they're asking her questions, Melissa tells her, she's in there in the room with her, and she tells her, don't think about what you heard when I was talking to 911. Like, tell them what you heard before that, if you saw anything.
Wow.
Like, she's really trying yeah. to get answers. So Alyssa said that she heard the floor creak and she saw a figure at her door, a shadowy figure, but couldn't make out if it was a man or a woman. So after all those interviews, gunshot residue tests were done on Melissa and Craig's hands, and both of them were negative. They had clearly Seems not like, shot a gun.
Yeah.
Detectives start looking into Dawn, you know, taking
yeah.
that lead. And she had a former boyfriend, Dawn did, that also seemed to have a vendetta against Ben. Like, he just did not like Ben, probably because of everything Dawn told him.
Sure. Yeah.
So this boyfriend had expressed his distaste for Ben in the past because of the way he treated Dawn. This guy did have a known criminal record and had recently gotten out of jail.
Hmm.
Detectives located that ex-boyfriend in California. He said he was in California the night of the murder, and that was proven to be true, so he was cleared. When Dawn was brought in, she seemed distraught. She said, I watched this stuff on TV. This is not me. This is not my life. Why do I watch this stuff on TV?
Okay. Oscar goes to.
Yeah. So Dawn's alibi was that she was at home all night with her new boyfriend, James Matlean, watching movies, and they went to bed around 4 or 4:30 in the morning. What's weird to me, though, is that Dawn told investigators that James was her best friend's son, and he helped Ew. Her take care of her kids. So, yeah, you see, Dawn was in her, late 30s, and James is 21. So, yeah, he may have been her best friend's son, but they were clearly in a relationship.
Ew.
It was obvious that they were romantic with each other. So if she's lying about something like that, as simple as him being her boyfriend, what else is she lying about?
Exactly.
So during the interview, she starts saying he's really not breathing, like he's totally dead, like several times. The detective's like, yes, we've already told you that several times. He's dead. So then she said, yeah, I wanted him to fall off the face of the earth, but I didn't want him dead.
Well...
She said, if you went and asked my kids who would your mom love to have disappeared, they would tell you Ben. She
Okay, keep talking.
She said her kids really hated him for what he put her through, but that doesn't mean she's like, but that doesn't mean I did it. So it's like she's like giving some truths mm-hmm. to make it look like she's being truthful. So, mm-hmm. but yeah, check. Crossing off people one by one, the detectives go, they're like, after that interview, they didn't seem like they were convinced it was Dawn. Mm-hmm. But Melissa was still not in the clear.
Well, I mean, how do you prove it wasn't you when you were the only one there? I mean, not the only one there, but like, right. It seems like it's her over right. The kids.
Right. I mean, how do you prove that? So over the next few months, they followed and watched Melissa, and they brought her in for questioning again. 3 months after the murder, an insurance company contacted the police and told them that Melissa was due to get Ben's life insurance in the amount of $400,000. And They're like, this is a new policy, so You might want to look into that. But let me just point out that, yeah, it was new because they just got married a year ago.
Yeah.
Anyway, they find out about this insurance money, and they notice that Melissa had already started dating, and it had only been 3 months.
Oh, no.
So looking further into the insurance policy, detectives see that, yes, it's available to Melissa, but she never claimed it. She never asked the police to close the case, which would have had to happen in order for her to claim insurance money.
Right.
Police asked her, why haven't you claimed this money yet? And she's like, honestly, I forgot there was even this policy. She forgot it existed. So when they asked her why she started dating again so soon, well, she said she just wanted to live a normal life and was just trying to pick up the pieces. And if she didn't do it now, she probably never would. I don't know.
Everybody has their own, you know,
coping.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Who knows?
And I mean, married for just a year versus, you know, if you were married to someone right. for 10 or 15, Maybe that changes the way someone copes with it.
Sure.
But Alyssa was then court ordered to go back to live with Dawn.
Oh, yikes. Mm-hmm.
Because they felt they were getting enough on Melissa to arrest her. So, yeah, Melissa was devastated. Like, and every time she's questioned, she's just bawling. But she's like, no, she can't go back with Dawn. Like, please don't let that happen.
Oh my gosh.
She's like, this is too dangerous for her. Like, how? She even asked, how can you, a judge one day say that no, Dawn's not fit to be her mother, and then now you're going to send her back to her?
Right.
So at this point, they're scratching their heads. Melissa looks like their person, but it just wasn't making sense.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to question Dawn again. Detectives found out that Ben and Dawn's marriage ended badly. Ben did have an affair. Really, they cheated on each other.
Okay.
And it was just a bad divorce with a bad custody battle.
Mm-hmm.
Dawn got heavy into drugs and alcohol. She was struggling to keep her family fed and cared for. Her kids would go to the neighbor's house and ask for food, and they would tell the neighbors that they were home by themselves.
And so these are kids from a previous
relationship? Yes, she had two older children than Alyssa.
Gotcha.
So they would be like scrounging, going to neighbors' houses. And
That's so sad.
Yeah. So they would tell neighbors that mom was out with some guy. They don't know where she is, that kind of thing. So even Alyssa, when Alyssa was 2 years old, she was found walking down the street by herself while Dawn was just out of it at home.
Oh, man.
Ben, eventually, he got custody over Alyssa, and Dawn had to pay $200 in child support.
Which was probably a lot for her.
Yeah.
Like, she probably could barely do that.
Exactly. Dawn hated the fact that she had to pay $200 a month. And, I mean, she liked Melissa. They got along. It was Ben that Dawn hated. And she just hated the fact that another woman had to raise her child.
Well, and he won.
Yeah.
He got the daughter. Exactly. And a new woman.
Right.
And now he has a healthy family unit. And I'm sure that made her really mad.
Oh, yeah. So Don and James were questioned again several other times, and their stories never changed. They were at home all night watching movies and never left the house. Except at one point, Don, she finally says, well, I did send James to 7-Eleven to get cigarettes. So detectives, they do a little digging and they find CCTV footage of James at 7-Eleven. So that went along with her story. Mm-hmm. So for the next 6 months, detectives followed Don and James like they did to Melissa. Mm-hmm. They would walk up to them and ask questions, like as they're out and about, they're like, hey, how's your day? Are you ready to talk? You have anything else you want to tell me? I don't know what kind of questions they were asking, but Don and James, they knew that the police were
right
on their booties. James, in between all of this, James got arrested for stealing a pack of cigarettes.
James, uh-huh. Keep your nose clean, guy.
He's 21. He doesn't know any better. And so they used that time to question him again, mm-hmm. bring him into the interrogation room.
We can forget all about this cigarette thing.
Yeah, just
tell us what you did.
Exactly. Well, he gave the same story, just like he has been given. Well, one night in 2009, Dawn was in a drunken state when she called the police and told them that James was the one that killed Ben.
Okay.
She had to get it off her chest.
Yeah.
She admitted that she had expressed her frustration about Ben, but she never asked James to kill him. She did, or he did that on his own will.
Okay.
And he told Don that night, it's now or never. Like, it needs to be done.
Okay.
And she said, no, don't do it.
Oh, thank you, Don. Trying to intervene.
Right. Well, detectives knew that since Don was drunk when she said, gave this confession, that it wasn't something that they could use as concrete.
Gotcha.
Not long after that interaction, Don was arrested on a DUI.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Yeah, these people.
They're just crumbling.
I mean, yikes.
So once she sobered up after sitting in jail, I think it was about 2 weeks, with no alcohol in her system, they brought her into the interrogation room again. She said that the night of the murder, she was really drunk. James had asked her if she really wanted Ben killed, and she told him no. She ended up going to bed, and James left. And when he came back, he told her that it's done. Ben is dead.
All right.
Well, Devin, one of Don's older children, came forward and told detectives that he overheard Don tell James that she wanted Ben dead, saying that Ben ruined her life. James said, just say the word and I'll go kill him.
Oh.
So there was no murder weapon or DNA found at the scene. So really it was a circumstantial case. Mm-hmm. Don was given immunity for cooperating with the case.
I'm sorry, what?
Uh-huh. Yeah, bomb.
I'm
dropping the bomb right now. They told her that if she would testify against James, she would not be charged.
That feels like too easy.
Isn't it?
She most certainly was behind this whole thing.
For sure.
Usually the person who's behind it gets more longer time than the trigger man.
Right. The manipulation.
Wow.
Yeah. So they arrested James and charged him with first-degree murder, and he pled guilty. He said that Dawn was begging him to kill Ben.
I believe him.
Yeah. She was mad that Ben got custody of Alyssa and wanted him dealt with, basically.
Right.
He said that Dawn said, I don't want you just to take care of it. I want you to kill him. He said Don drew a map of the inside of Ben's house so that James would know exactly where to go. And Don even went with him to do the deed. He said he first went to 7-Eleven and withdrew $40. And then they went to Walmart.
It's always Walmart. They always go to Walmart.
Interesting. So Dawn, she stayed in the car as he went in to get the shotgun shells.
I'm sorry. They bought the ammunition right before.
Yes.
Carry on.
Yeah. And she went with him.
Good Lord.
So then on to Ben's house they went. James could not find the map that Dawn drew up for him. So Dawn decided to go in to Ben's house with James so she could show him where to go.
Mm-hmm.
James said that Dawn suggested taking Alyssa with them after killing Ben, but James was like, that's a bad idea. Like, that would be so obvious.
Yeah, that would be obvious. Almost as obvious as, like, buying ammunition right before.
He said she stopped in front of Alyssa's bedroom. So that shadowy figure that Alyssa mm-hmm. saw, that was her mother.
That was her mother.
Once he got to Ben's room, he shot the gun quickly and ran out of the house. When he got outside, Dawn was already in the car waiting for him.
She's already out of there.
Uh-huh. He also added that Dawn had asked him to kill Melissa as well, and he planned to, but once he shot Ben, he couldn't make himself shoot Melissa too.
Right.
Mm. James said Dawn made him feel...
draw the line somewhere.
Right? He's like, oh...
That's a step too far.
Yeah. James said Dawn made him feel wanted and valued, whereas Aww. He never felt that way with his family.
Aww.
Yeah. So he was easily manipulated right. by her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. James already had a criminal record and spent time in jail for stealing a car in the past. So
but he wasn't violent.
Right.
I mean, he wasn't a violent criminal.
So, yeah, it escalated and it didn't have to, like.
Right. He wouldn't have done that on his own.
Right.
But maybe. They've already offered her immunity.
Exactly.
Why didn't they wait? This is the thing. You waited all that time. Years had passed.
Yeah.
Why not wait even longer to get the evidence on her, get James's statement before offering her immunity?
That's, yeah. It's...
This is infuriating.
It is. Yeah. So, I don't know. All I can think of is they just knew that if they could get one of them, it was good enough.
I just feel like if you're going to get one of them, maybe her. I mean, I know Absolutely. He did it, but it just seems like she's the one with the murderous intent here.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, this Ben was connected to Dawn, not James. Like,
right.
Anyway.
Caramba.
James was 21 at the time of the murder. And just a couple years later, he would receive life in prison without parole.
Mm.
He also had an additional charge of conspiracy to commit murder, which he was given an additional 4 to 10 years for that.
Wow.
He seemed very remorseful. He was portrayed as this young, immature guy that was manipulated by Dawn to do her dirty work. But Alyssa, after everything was said and done, Alyssa got to speak Aww. To him. And she went up to him at 9 years old by this time. And she says that she forgives him for killing her dad.
Wow.
Dawn was never charged and got to go on living life, and Melissa eventually adopted Alyssa and Dawn's older daughter.
Wow.
Yes. She says that she has a soft spot in her heart for kids with hard family life. So she got to take both of them, and she says that she does not hate Dawn. She's just really disgusted with her.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my. The injustice. The injustice.
Yeah.
But I love that something wonderful came out of it, that Alyssa's now, you know, she was in a safe, loving home
yes.
before her dad was murdered. But now this other child is in a safe, loving home. It's hard
yeah.
to reconcile.
Yeah.
James and Dawn, a plague. Oh, both your houses.
Well, he's in the jailhouse, so no telling what's going on there.
Ugh, I'm mad. I'm mad.
Yeah, I'm sorry to give you a bad day, but
I don't understand. There are so many cases where we hear like the officers are like, we just don't have enough. I just don't have enough. But then
if we can just get her, if we could just get her to just lay it all out and give us the story.
It seems like he would have cracked first.
Oh.
Because he's younger. Right. He's more impressionable.
Right. Yeah. It's maddening.
Rest in peace, Ben.
Yes.
I am thankful he didn't suffer.
Right.
That's all I can say. Right. He wasn't even aware, probably, of what was happening.
Oh.
Ugh. I just hate this. But thank you for telling the story. And this was great. Let's do it again sometime.
All right. We will.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. If you're enjoying our podcast, please consider leaving us a positive review and rating. To make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe to our show.
You can also follow us on Instagram at Cousins on Crime Podcast or send case suggestions to cousinsoncrime@gmail.com.